Tabernacle Presbyterian Church presents Sunday with Tab. Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, located at 34th and Central in Indianapolis, welcomes you to Sunday with Tab. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, What the Church Has Taught Me, Foundations. We'll also have music from the Sanctuary Choir. So join us now from Tabernacle Presbyterian Church for Sunday with Tab.
Our first scripture lesson today comes from Paul's letter to Timothy, the second letter, chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Paul writes, I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers, day and night. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice and now I am sure lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed, then, of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher, and for this reason, I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. This is the word of the Lord.
We're going to continue in a letter that Paul writes to Timothy, the first letter at the fourth chapter, picking up at the 11th verse. He writes, "These are the things you must insist on and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but set the example, but set for the believers an example in speech and conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I arrive, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhorting, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you through prophecy with the laying on of the hands by the counsel of the elders. Put these things into practice. Devote yourself to them so that all may see your progress. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Continue in these things, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and your hearers." Again, this is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God, and let us pray. Lord, we do give you thanks for the gift of the day, for the privilege of worship, for this gathering of your people. And now as we sit beneath the teaching of your word, we would pray that the words of my mouth, that the reflections, the meditations of our hearts together might find acceptance in your sight, for it is you and you alone we desire to please, and this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Perhaps it will come as no surprise, but I have found myself reflecting recently on life and ministry. And so I'd like to share with you this morning, and then in the next couple of weeks to come, some of what the church has taught me, appropriately beginning today on this Father's Day, because my family had everything to do with my early faith formation. I am a Timothy in the faith. And by that I mean that I am one who was born into a family of faith, just as Timothy was, as we read in the scriptures. We just read a passage from Paul's second letter. Jack read for us. He writes, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you." I can't remember a time in my life where I didn't know Jesus or know about Jesus. Both my parents and my grandparents were active church members. My parents met in their primary Sunday school class as children. My father and my grandfather both considered ministry before choosing other professions. So bedtime prayers, grace before meals, every Sunday at church, these were givens, the non-negotiables in our family. Both of my parents served in numerous church offices for as long as I can remember. My dad taught Sunday school for close to 5 decades. My mother conducted a handbell choir for 30 years, sang in the church choir since she was a teenager, and still at 99 has quite a beautiful alto voice. The church of my childhood was faithful in mission and ministry. It allowed me opportunities for study and service. I vividly remember having some of my school teachers and local business leaders as my Sunday school teachers and those singing in the choir. I was raised to believe that the church was an important expression of the body of Christ. It had an important role in the community, in the world, in individuals' lives. I saw ministers as being well-educated and respected. I saw and was raised to believe that ministry was an honorable profession. I am a Timothy in the faith, thanks to my family and to my church family. And I commend our TAB families and our TAB church family to be the same for all of the children and young people that we have in this church family and community. This faith of ours is better caught than it is taught. And so parents and grandparents become the first line evangelists for sharing faith into the lives of their children. And then the rest of us, Mrs. Wirt, those who are teaching Sunday school, we in the church family simply come alongside them as we live into the vows and promises we make to our young families to help to raise their children in the nurture and instruction of the Lord. May we be so committed to that. I am a Timothy in the faith. I didn't have a committed conversion experience. Rather, I have had many committed conversion experiences throughout my life where Jesus has become real and living to me. One moment in particular, it was the summer between my 7th and 8th grade years. I was at a Lions Fair carnival in our community, a suburb of St. Louis, when I was approached by what was then referred to as being a Jesus freak. Do you remember those folks? Long hair, tie-dye t-shirt, jeans torn at the knees. He sat me down and started telling me about this Jesus, and I listened for a while, but then suddenly thought to myself, wait a minute, I know this Jesus. I've always known this Jesus. He's talking about the same Jesus my parents and my church have been talking about. He's just talking about him in a way that I had never heard before. And in that experience, I realized, I knew in my heart that the faith of my family, the faith of my church, was my faith too. And it was not long after that that I felt a call to ministry. I have known that God has called me to be a pastor since I was in middle school. So I often think for myself that ministry is not so much something that I do as something that I am, and I'm grateful for that. With that sense of call in mind, during high school, I became even more involved in my church's youth group, in our choir. I helped to organize a chapter of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes at our high school. Those became faith-forming experiences for me. At one point, I was given a little devotional piece titled I'm Third that recounted the story of a young man who lived by that motto. When his friends asked him what it meant, he said, "Oh, I'll tell you someday." The devotional piece then went on to tell the story of how this young man grew to gain the respect of elders and peers, how he served others and helped in times of need, how he was a friend to everyone he met. After graduation, before heading off to college, he finally told his friends the meaning of I'm third. He said, "The Lord is first, others are second, and I'm third." I was inspired by that story at that time and decided to live my life by that same motto. And I'll tell you, I have desired to live by it to this day. I am a Timothy in the faith, loved and supported by my family, encouraged and given experiences by my church family, and inspired by others who I admire and respect, just as Timothy did, the Apostle Paul. And I pray again the same for the young people of this church and community. Having grown up in St. Louis, I attended Hanover College in southern Indiana, a decision for which I will always be grateful, because it's there that I met my wife, Kristen. She was my first small group Bible study leader. A story to be told another day. Hanover allowed me the opportunity to expand my experiences in ministry. We had an active student-led Christian fellowship on campus. So they were upperclassmen and upper-class women who I admired and saw a way to follow. Members of that fellowship quickly became my closest friends, including Kristen. All of the leaders of the fellowship graduated the summer after my sophomore year. So the first thing I did in summer break, I got home, I sold my trumpet, I bought a guitar, and learned the 10 chords that are necessary to lead contemporary Christian music at the time. I soon started leading that group, along with others, and got hands-on ministry experience. Meanwhile, I declared a double major in theology and English and quickly found myself at odds with much of what was being taught in the theology department at the time. I remember kind of thinking to myself, this is kind of strange. I feel like God is calling me into ministry and my professors are trying to keep me out of it. But that struggle was good for me. It helped me to think honestly and critically about my faith, another avenue which allowed me to claim my faith as my own and not just my parents, my family, my church. During those years, I also started attending the local Methodist church in town and quickly became friends with the pastor there. He took me under his wing, he encouraged me and gave me opportunities. I frequently served as the liturgist on Sunday morning. I taught Sunday school for second graders. For a short period of time, I even directed the choir. And I even had the opportunity to preach when that pastor was out of town. On one such Sunday morning, the phone rang as I was just about to leave home to go to church for worship. It was the head usher asking me if I was going to come that day. I said, well, yeah, I am. I'm on my way right now. Why? He said, well, we changed the time of the morning service, so the candles are lit and the prelude has been played. We're just waiting for you. I rushed right over. I loved my college experience. I loved that church. And like my family and my church home and my childhood experiences, each of these helped to shape and form me, readying me for ministry. And again, I'll always be grateful. Having known I felt called to pastoral ministry since middle school and having considered other career options along the way, I took a year off between college and seminary to work for Hanover in the admissions department. A little sidebar here, as faithful a church member as my father was, he challenged my call to ministry. Throughout those years, something was going on in him and perhaps in me, which at first I fully did not understand. We would have long discussions about my sense of call and about the demands of ministry. He would set me up on summer jobs in factories of some of his business associates, one of which offered me a very lucrative contract and opportunity to join his sales team after graduation. Difficult as those conversations and attractive as those offers were, they each served to convince me of my call to ministry. My father, however, was not yet convinced. Until one day, we had one of those heart-to-heart conversations in which I asked him, why don't you want me to go into the ministry? And he said, I don't care whether you go into the ministry or not. I just want to make sure you're doing it for the right reasons. And after that, he became my biggest cheerleader. Let me share one final story with you. This regards the foundations and the formation of my faith. When it came time to choose a seminary, I chose Gordon Conwell in Boston, a well-established, well-respected seminary in the conservative evangelical tradition of our faith. This seminary would have fit me perfectly. This is where I stood on the theological spectrum. I had, if you will, God in a box, if you know what I mean. This is where I'd placed God. This is how I understood God. And I was comfortable there. But when I announced my decision to the Committee on Preparation in our Presbyterian St. Louis, they announced to me, you can go there, but we may not ordain you. I won't go into the details of that, but that gave me pause. So I came home to talk with my home pastor, who just happened to be on the board of trustees at Princeton. He encouraged me to look into that seminary. I did. I was accepted. And now I am tremendously grateful for the opportunity that was given to me there. You see, having put God in my little box, I soon met others, students and professors alike, who had different boxes for God. At first, it was easy to reject those differences, but the more I got to know them, the more I listened to their faith stories, the more I heard about their experiences, the more I watched how they lived out their faith, while different than my own, I began to appreciate rather than reject those differences. I knew I loved Jesus. I knew I wanted to follow Jesus. I knew I wanted to serve Jesus. But suddenly I saw that they loved Jesus too. And they wanted to follow Jesus. And they wanted to serve Jesus just in different ways than I. And the acceptance of those differences became critical to me in my faith formation. If you were with us two Sundays ago, I spoke on the unity that we find under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, which sustains us together despite our differences. If you weren't with us, or if you haven't yet listened to that message, I'm going to encourage you to do so. That understanding and appreciation and acceptance of the diverse expressions of our faith across the theological spectrum has shaped and nurtured me, and it largely goes back to my time at Princeton, not to mention opportunities given to me there. I was a chaplain in a maximum security prison in Philadelphia. I served as a chaplain in a nursing home, my first encounters with death and dying up close. All of these, then, I believe, served me well to prepare me for now 41 years of ministry, 15 of those here at TAB. About those experiences of what the church has taught me through the years, I'd like to continue to talk with you in the weeks to come. But I'll close with a quote by Albert Schweitzer, for in many ways I believe that this could be my story. He writes, "One other thing stirs me when I look back at my youthful days. That is the fact that so many people gave me something or were something to me without knowing it. Such people with whom I never perhaps exchanged a word, yes, and others about whom I merely heard things by report, had decisive influence on me. They entered into my life and became powers within me. Much that I should otherwise not have felt so clearly or done so effectively was felt or done as it was because I stand, as it were, under the sway of these people. Hence, I always think that we all live spiritually by what others have given us in the significant hours of our life. These significant hours do not announce themselves as coming, but arrive unexpected. Nor do they make a great show of themselves. They pass almost unperceived. Much that has become of our own in gentleness, modesty, kindness, willingness to forgive, in veracity, loyalty, resignation under suffering, we owe to people in whom we have seen or experienced these virtues at work, sometimes in matters great, sometimes in matters small. If we had before us those who have thus been a blessing to us and could tell them how it came about, they would be amazed to learn what passed over from their life into ours. That is my story. That is what has shaped and formed my life in faith. I trust you understand my intention in sharing this story of my faith journey, something I have really never done with you or with those I've served before. It's not simply to tell you more about me. It's really to encourage you, to help you to understand how important family is, and church is, and friendships, and experiences, and good teaching, and good mentoring, and good modeling, and opportunities to lead and serve, exposure to others who hold positions or views different than our own, all are important ingredients to faith development in our children and our grandchildren, in the children of this church and community, and in our own continued faith growth and development. You see, I am a Timothy in the faith, and for that I will be forever grateful. I pray that we will be a church that will continue to love and support and nurture and encourage all of the other Timothys and Teresas among us for generations still to come. Amen. And let us pray. Lord, we do give you thanks for all the influences of our lives that have brought us to this point. We give you thanks for those who have spoken a word to us, who have acted in a way that called attention and then pointed to you. We thank you for those who have had an influence on us, whether they realize it or not, whether it was a family member, a friend, a Sunday school teacher, a pastor, a neighbor, a colleague, a roommate, whoever it may have been, we give you thanks for them this day. We pray, O Lord, that we then might be that for another. Help us to live our lives in such a way that when they see us, they look to you, and may we do the same. We pray these and all things through Christ our Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. We offer it in Jesus' name.
You're listening to Sunday with Tab, a production of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis. We hope you have found inspiration and comfort in today's program. There are many ways to enjoy today's message again. Subscribe to the Tab Podcast on your favorite podcast app, or go to tabpres.org, tap on the graphic marked Sermons, and select the sermon you wish to hear. While there, you can also view the entire worship service. We invite you to join us for worship this morning at Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. We're located at the corner of 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis. At 8 a.m., we have a communion service in the chapel. And at 10 o'clock, a beautiful worship service in the sanctuary. The 10 o'clock service is also live streamed on our YouTube channel, Tab Indy. For all information on the services and streaming, go to tabpres.org. That's tabpres.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next week at the same time for Sunday with Tab.